This is Rod Peterson on Demand. No!
I hated that whole American expansion thing. I absolutely detested every single second of it, man. So okay. I don't have much positive to say about it.
How about that?
I'm glad that we opened up that can of worms, by the way, because I'm looking at your career here. You were an all-star in 92 and 94, all-Canadian in 92. What did you hate?
96, 97, 98, 99, too, I think.
Yeah, but who's counting?
That's not on the thing you're looking at?
No, you got to go update your Wikipedia. Your Wikipedia hasn't been updated since 1994, Troy.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Good morning, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving. Happy U.S. Thanksgiving from here in the bunker and the crew. Hey, to our American friends, how you doing, Dupes?
I'm great. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's fun. Two of the first three people writing in, Americans. Carlos in Indianapolis, Stephen in North Dakota. All saying happy American Thanksgiving. Do you feel in the festive spirit?
I kind of do. That's why I got the tracksuit. It's just like the going to kick the feet up. I got an elastic waistband so we can go eat after this. And it's going to be a day of football, fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea how I got so far behind getting ready for the lead up to the show here, but I haven't shared it on Facebook yet. So you understand. You'll stick with me for a second while I share this.
Yeah.
The main thing is I'll share it to all my friends and then I'll go through and share it to the groups. But howdy. Hope you're enjoying your day so far. Best time of day to talk sports is right now because we're watching the sports at night. Have you noticed?
It's great.
Or at least we were. And coming up on the program today, it's an eclectic bunch. I would say a dog's breakfast, but that would be an insult to the guests. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Right? For one, DraftKings betting guru Johnny Avello is going to be joining us from Vegas. We got a ton of questions about Johnny, which, by the way, if you guys remember the last time he was on, he talked about point spreads and how they work and betting lines. Nobody pointed this out or nobody noticed but me. Darren's point spread for the Sim Grey Cup was Ottawa by 2.5. Anybody remember the score? Ottawa won by 3 in overtime. How'd you do it?
I'm a savant, I guess.
When it comes to, you're a degenerate gambler.
When it comes to that, I'm dialed in. I'm pretty good at calling the spread. I'm pretty good at estimating times things will take or when I'm going to arrive somewhere.
That's good.
Like down to the minute. It's a weird.
Everybody's got a talent.
Weird thing, yeah. I haven't found a way to monetize that one yet.
So Johnny Avello will be with us from Vegas later on in hour one. Jason Tatarnik, the head coach of the Estevan Bruins, head coach and general manager, an unscheduled visit. And in my show topics, I'll tell you why. You probably got a pretty good idea why Jason Tatarnik's going to be joining us. And then an hour or two, this is something I'm not totally clear on. Again, Clark was trying to wrangle us all together here, but it was like herding cats before the show. Noticed?
Yes.
It's because Paul was in the middle mucking things up. That's what it was. Gino Ogic, there's a campaign to get him in what I can only assume is the Vancouver Canucks Ring of Honor. Does that sound right, Clark? Yeah. And Marcia McNaughton's behind that with Gino Wojcik. Marcia McNaughton is with us and with Gino to talk about that in hour two. So that should be good. I think Gino Wojcik should go on the Ring of Honor of the Vancouver Canucks. But you know what? I'm not a BC guy. Maybe those folks out watching in British Columbia, beautiful BC, could tell us. Maybe that should be the poll question. Should Gino Wojcik be in the Vancouver Canucks Ring of Honor? Because I think he should be.
That'd be a good one for sure. I mean, we all know who he was
right.
Growing up. He had an impact.
Well, we all know who Jeffrey Dahmer is, too. He's not going in any Ring of Honor.
Good point. But he's not Gino Ogic, is my point. I had Gino Ogic's hockey card, didn't have Jeffrey Dahmer's hockey card.
Can you imagine if there were serial killer trading cards? There probably are.
I wonder what the market would be for them. Would they be worth money?
You'd be surprised. Got him, had him, need him, got him. Anyways, those are the guests today. Let's get into the quick six show topics, please, Director Jordan. So, yeah, it is U.S. Thanksgiving, and it's an NFL doubleheader. It was supposed to be a tripleheader, but COVID got in the way of that. And so it's the doubleheader, the Houston Texans at the Detroit Lions, 11:30 Central, 12:30 Eastern, followed by the Washington Football Club at America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, at 3:30. That's the poll question today. pick the two winners. I voted for the home teams, Lions and Dallas. But it's always a very fun day. This is the worst Thanksgiving in terms of the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
You're not having big gatherings. You're not having the big turkey feasts anywhere. You're not allowed.
That's right.
But at least you'll be around the television. And that's the one thing as we go through these quick six show topics here. Thank God for Tori Gurley and the NFL guests that we've had. We could sit and talk NFL for 2 hours every day. And maybe we will be. We're really learning. They're the kings.
Yeah.
Not that we didn't know that before, but this is just proving they're the kings.
And they're the kings everywhere, right?
They're the kings of the world.
Even here in Canada, where we reside, I mean, our comments go like crazy. People are informed. They want to talk about it. They've got favorite teams. Oh, they've got favorite players.
Well, we were saying last night at my last career ever slow pitch game at Ballers Rec Room, the sixth topic yesterday, the quick six, was should the Eagles make a change at quarterback? You saw what happened? Comments went crazy. And you pointed out there's a lot of NFL fans in Canada.
Yeah, there is.
So that's why I'm very grateful that we can stay on the air and talk sports every day, because at least the NFL is going to be playing. But anyways, moving on to point two, this province announced Wednesday they're shutting down all sports, but bars, casinos, and bingo halls are staying open. That, if you haven't been following, I don't know who you follow on your Twitter timeline or your Facebook friends, that's what's got everybody talking, not the least of which are the SJHL teams, the Junior A loop. The coaches are furious, to the point that Jason Tatarnik, the coach of the Estevan Bruins, wants to come on, and I have a sense that he's going to speak for all SJHL coaches. And, we are a national show, and a third of our viewers are American, but they clearly like the topics that we talk about, so I'm not going to shy away from what we would normally talk about. And here's the angst from the SJHL. Just so you're clear, and I've talked to a lot of the coaches last night, nobody's saying the virus isn't serious. Nobody's saying that we're not in a very serious time. What they are saying is we moved mountains to comply with your guidelines, and we met him, and we've provided a safe environment for our players, fans, and officials, and you still shut us down. The goalposts are moving on us here. And why are you punishing us? That's kind of what they're saying. That's what I got from the coaches last night. But I think Jason Tatarnik will talk for them all when he comes on here later.
We got a massive problem in society with, you know, well, if he can do it, I can do it. If he's allowed to do that, why am I not allowed to do this, right? And it's the same thing. Well, if they're allowed to play, how come we're not allowed to play? And we need as leaders to be able to step up and say, because they're doing their job. And they're not spreading the virus. This group is. And not saying that kids in hockey rinks are spreading viruses. I don't know, right? But if you're worried about that and worried about families being at the rink and kids being at the rink and school and everything else, it's a little different than junior hockey, especially for the players when they're not going to school. That's all they have. So they can have a little more control over their environment. If the SJHL and the junior leagues are doing things the right way, they need to do the work to now apply for the exceptions and convince the governments that, hey, if we're going to put the kids locked down for a bit because there's a little more randomness there, that sucks. But, hey, we've got a plan so that there is no randomness and we can play and continue doing what we're doing. I think that's, you know, they're just getting lumped in with everything. And I think that's
why they're upset.
That's why
they're upset. They've complied by the rules, done it very well, and now they're being punished. And they don't know why. Joe in New York's watching. He says, sad to see politicians have their heads up their asses in Canada, just like they do in the United States. They're following the advice from the health professionals. Because if you notice, there's all different ruling parties across this land, but they're all following the same handbook. What does that tell you? There's no autonomy, I don't think, from province to province, from premier to premier. I don't believe there is.
Well, we know, like, Derek Myers is a close friend, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's no health expert. So what's a guy like that who's a politician? What's he supposed to do except listen to the health experts?
Right. And while I'm loath to bring you all down today with coronavirus talk, that's what's going on here. Mandy in Edmonton says, are Sask Sports shut down for 3 weeks? They are. But our beloved SJHL, they said, we're not coming back till after Christmas. And it could be a poll question. Do you think these leagues are even going to come back after Christmas? Could be a good poll question. I'm not willing to put that up today.
Could be great. And that's just because, I mean, by the 17th or whenever the restrictions are lifted, or at least that's the timetable, and then they'll reassess and have a new plan for beyond that. Their season's into the Christmas break anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, come back after the holidays.
From Jeff Blosky, he says, love for the SJ today. Easy to say, stick together. We will get through this, but we must. What we've learned, and I said it in my commentary today on Cat Country, no amount of foot stomping and complaining is going to get the government to change their mind. I don't see them budging on any of this. So I'm interested to see what Jason Tatarnik has to say. And I think I'm right in saying he's speaking on behalf of all SJHL coaches. And quite frankly, it was hilarious yesterday when the Nipawin Hawks tweeted, Coach Johnson is going to take the players to the bars and casinos because the government shut down the hockey rinks, shut down the hockey games. The point being, you can go to a bingo hall in this province, but not the rink, because you're going to get coronavirus, so the coach of the Hawks is going to take his players there, to the bar. Of course, some buffoons, like, there's absolute buffoons out there that thought they were serious.
How do you decide which 30 people get into the bar, by the way?
The first 30, I guess. Joe Lozito says, no matter what happens, I applaud these leagues for doing the right things and trying to proceed. That's their whole point. They weren't breaking any rules. They were following everything to the letter, and now they get shut down, and they're hopping mad. And let's not forget about people's livelihoods, people's careers. Oh, yeah, that doesn't matter because sports aren't important. Point three, here's another one. Canada's World Junior Camp paused. And this is interesting to settle into. So there were two players announced on Tuesday, I guess, that were positive COVID tests in Red Deer. And then Wednesday, they shut down the whole darn thing for 14 days. And from what I gathered from watching Ryan Rashog and Craig Button on TSN was that these guys are going to be in their hotel rooms for 2 weeks in Red Deer. And the one thing they did say was the workouts and video sessions were all going to be virtual. Boy. Again, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I'm 47. 18-year-old hockey player, you might as well put him in prison. Don't you think?
Yeah, That's tough. I know you're going to need to make sure you're stocked with video games and stocked with things to keep them occupied for sure. But that's really tough. Obviously, the bubble's not secure enough, right? If there's a way that it's getting in or they're allowed out or there's certain things that are happening here that it's not completely secure. And they're going to have to think about that, tightening it up. And it's only going to get a little bit worse in terms of isolation and restriction for the players. But it's, yeah, we'll see. These 2 weeks will be interesting from a Hockey Canada perspective. If you're in the management group or you're in, you know, the mental health group for Hockey Canada, watch the players over 2 weeks just to get a sense of how they're going to handle the next, you know, 5 weeks. Yeah. You're leading up and through a World Junior Championship. Can they handle this isolation? So this will be an interesting two-week test period.
Jamie in Halifax, Nova Scotia's watching, reporting from the Atlantic bubble. He says, Junior B hockey will resume out here January 1st. The Q and Junior A will reevaluate on December the 9th. I hate that we're getting bogged down in coronavirus talk, but it's running our lives right now. So what are you going to do? Jack Fulton, watching in Vulcan, Alberta, says, on a positive note, number 49, Alex Singleton, named as Player of the Week after his outstanding Week 11 game. He's with the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's a friend of the show. I was telling the guys in the morning meeting here that I'm getting emails from NFL Canada every day. That can't be a good thing for the CFL. And they've launched a podcast, NFL Canada. I'm just going to say it because they're sending it to me. That was their intent. Hosted by Doug Drabble, weekly NFL Canada. And the first edition, they're going to be saying, just give Chase Claypool Rookie of the Year now. That could be a good topic tomorrow, Clark. Who should be Rookie of the Year in the NFL? That would be a good one.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm voting for Chase Claypool, as would you.
Yeah.
But there's been some great rookies.
Oh, of course.
CeeDee Lamb, Joe Burrow, Chase Young.
It's
been a lot.
It's a deep list.
But his name probably the top four right there.
I mean, it's a deep list. Justin Herbert will be up there.
Yeah.
Tua Tagovailoa will be up there. Although he doesn't have the big, you know, juicy numbers that Justin Herbert has or Joe Burrow had before he got injured. So Claypool, the touchdowns though is huge, massive. So it's a wild race. Absolutely
right.
Wild.
I'm just saying NFL Canada is a thing. When I talked about watching TSN's coverage of the World Juniors, apparently Ryan Rashog and Craig Button will have nothing to do. So do we want to get them on, Clark? Can we get on that? Both good friends of mine. I've known Craig since I was 15 years old. Let's do it. See what they have to say. Oh, and Rashog said, it's not a bubble. If you have a chance to watch SportsCenter or their report, because you can watch the video these days at TSN.ca, Rashog went out of his way to say, it's not a bubble here. Or it's not exactly a bubble.
Clearly right. Not. If the guys came in healthy and now coronavirus has gotten into Team Canada, it's clearly not a bubble.
I know, but this is what I don't understand, and I'm just a dumb hayseed. We all know that. But Wayne in Victoria says, what's so magical about the next 2 weeks? Why shut down for that amount of time? Well, the plan right now is to quarantine for 14 days. They're all going to be tested. I guess if they get a negative test by, say, this weekend, I guess they'll be back onto the ice. My whole thing is, what if a carload of COVID-positive people come into Red Deer on December 5th and infect the whole town? Like, whoop, we're going back into quarantine for 2 weeks.
That's why you need a bubble. It needs right. to be, you have to control the environment. And right now, the players obviously got exposed outside of their environment, the hockey environment, and they got COVID.
This is funny. John Schmeiser says, John Schmeiser's in Kansas City watching. He says, Chase Claypool is not getting the attention he deserves down here. Great hearing you guys talk about him. It's all we hear about up here, and for good reason. But nobody's playing football up here.
That's
so.
Right.
Boy, I got to speed it up here. Point four, soccer legend Diego Maradona dies at the age of 60 yesterday. That, I guess, would be akin to what, Wayne Gretzky passing away? Really? The icon of the sport?
Yeah.
I have a scalding comment for a TSN analyst who was eulogizing Diego Maradona on SportsCenter, but I'll save that for hour two when we go to national TV, right? More bang for your buck.
I like it.
Point five, NCAA basketball on TSN. Watching it last night, quite enjoying it, by the way, out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I'm thinking, is the science different in South Dakota than it is here? It must be. Different science. Trust the science. But it's different science. You get it, right?
I get it.
And point six is 6A and 6B. 2 points in one. I wrote the first and then I had an epiphany for the second. So one, I'm reading the news. Believe it or not, I do that. Justin Trudeau's under fire from the opposition in Ottawa because U.S., Germany, and the United Kingdom will be getting vaccines before Canada. Do you know why? Because they're manufacturing them within their countries. We're not manufacturing the vaccines here. We're not going to get them. All those countries, U.S., Germany, and the U.K., last I checked, that's a lot of damn people, are going to get the vaccines before we are.
Yeah.
So you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. And 6B, news out of the CFL. The BC Lions have hired Ryan Rigmaiden as their director of U.S. scouting. He'd been with them for years. He went to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, won a Grey Cup. Clearly, the guy knows what he's doing. He lives in Spokane and praying for everybody that there is a CFL next year. He was the guy that was tabbed to be the next GM of the Alouettes, and I think he looked at that situation and went, don't think so. Stayed in Winnipeg.
Smart.
He's a smart guy, won a Grey Cup. And now he's going to BC. Jaime Garcia writes in, says, tough weeks for sports death. First, Fred Sasakamoose. Tough. And I know you're not a fan, but he was my childhood idol, Maradona. Right. And the third is Hal Ketchum,
mm-hmm.
as they come in threes. Jaime, thanks for pointing that out. And that's why I pointed it out. I get that not everybody's into what I'm into, and I'm not into what you're into, but I can at least appreciate what this guy meant to the world. And just a little teaser, this dope on TSN said he had addictions issues. Will that taint his legacy? Hey, you boob. those of us that have had addictions issues aren't defined by those struggles. We're defined by beating them, which Diego Maradona did. Maybe that should be his legacy. Wake up. We'll be back with special guests. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. I knew that today would be wild, and I should mention that the warm-up is brought to you by the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons, Saskatchewan's original sports bar. Your home of the NFL. Some of the comments here from that. Rob Williamson says, the NFL has always had expansion plans into Canada, even though they gave money for the Sask Riders to survive years ago. We'll delve into that more tomorrow on a Football Friday. And Pete Gowdy says, that scout for BC is talented. He found Lucky Whitehead. Had Lucky been released from the Cowboys. Pete says he's watching from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Yes, Ryan Rigmaiden, it is a tremendous scout. Anyways, I'm having a heck of a time with my earpiece here. Anyways,
you
we're
got
having
it straight
a
into
yeah,
it.
I got it, and I think so. We're having a rodeo with our guests today, moving guys in, moving in them out. And Jason Tatarnik is the head coach and GM of the Estevan Bruins. I'm very excited to bring him on. We've been missing each other in terms of me being in Estevan, him being here, and we haven't been able to connect. And here we are. We got him? Can we bring him up? Thank you. Jason, I wish that we had better circumstances to do this first interview, my friend, but I appreciate you volunteering to come on. I thought maybe after a night of sleeping on the news, you might have cooled off, or maybe you haven't. What's your take on the news yesterday that the SJ is shutting down till after Christmas?
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing, and it's very sad for our players, and you know, it's heartbreaking for them. You know, this is the second time it's happened to them, and you know, especially for our 20-year-olds that were 19-year-olds last year, was shut down early on them, and now they're seeing it again. And you know, we don't have any firm answers about a start date again, because we'll have to see how things go over Christmas.
Well, you're the first SJHL coach we've had on to talk about all of this. Can you please tell me what it's been like to get into that 150 cap, appease your sponsors? I know there's upset Estevan Bruins fans. They can't get into the arena, but everybody's come together to get this far. And then what happened yesterday? Can you speak to that? And you kind of feel like you had the rug ripped out from under you, I would think.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you look at the announcement and the reasons, etc. And I think for us, this league's been around since 1917 in some form. And it's not something that's just started 20 years ago or 30 years ago. It's been part of this province for a long time. And it's a big economic, it has a big economic impact on all the communities. Like if you look at our operating budgets for each team, it's going to be between $500 to $1 million. Probably more so in the middle of that for each team, but that's a pretty big operating budget, and that has a tremendous economic impact on our community. And now that you're looking at the 150 that you brought up, we're probably projected to lose anywhere between $300,000 and $400,000 this year already. That's a huge loss for anybody, a company. You look at our organization, that's tremendous. And we have 6 full-time staff employed by the Estevan Bruins. So, when you look at the 12 other teams, there's a big impact.
Can you please tell me again, because you're speaking somewhat for the SJHL coaches in that, because I haven't interviewed any others. I spoke to them last night via text, and they're not as calm as you, I can tell you that. But what do you tell your players in a situation like this? Are you keeping them around Estevan? Are you sending them home early for Christmas? How's that working?
Well, when you're told that any player under the age of 18, it's finished for practices, etc. So, no, our team, we have 3 players. One is a 16-year-old, and two others are 17. So they're the only players that can come on the ice. And the neat thing, those 3 players that we have, they're not going to school. They're doing it online. Like, we followed the protocols. We didn't put them in a public school setting to avoid COVID, just on their safety, on that side. We want our players to avoid it as much as possible. And so we took that protocol not to have our players in high school. They're doing it online to avoid that population. So it's tough to swallow. And I guess the best way to do is I had to tell our players yesterday. I didn't really know how to tell them. I didn't have answers for them. It's tough to provide an answer when a player asks you, well, you know, and you mentioned already, we can't practice, we can't play, but we can go to a casino. You know, that's hard. I can't answer that. Maybe the Premier, Scott Moe can, maybe Dr. Shahab can, because when you think about a casino, you can have 30 people. People can be coming in and out of that casino left and right throughout the day, throughout the week. We have 25 players in one setting every day. So I don't have the answer to that question for my players, but maybe they do. Maybe they have data that they can pull and prove that we're spreading this. For example, the one reason was, you know, we don't want this carried into the schools. And I just touched base on, we don't have players in school.
Yeah. Oh man. You're getting the good points, Jason. You really are. And I hope that the political leaders and the health officials are watching and will provide some answers to those questions. Can I just ask you a question outside of this? You had to be pretty happy with your start. I mean, let's just be positive and hope that you're coming back after Christmas. Your supporters have pointed out to me that you took 3 or 4 off Humboldt recently. So things were rolling a little bit for the Bruins.
Yeah, you know, we're very happy with our team. You know, obviously they have to adapt to myself and our coaching staff, how we want to approach the game. It's a little bit different. And they've done that. They've adjusted well, and they've been playing their hearts out, and they've been practicing hard. And it's unfortunate, you know, we'll go back to that 150 that you brought up. You know, that's 6% of our capacity in the Affinity Place. We can fit 2,300 people in our building, and only 150 people, probably 50 of those were parents. So it's unfortunate that only X amount of people got to see the product on the ice, because we believe it's a good product. It's exciting. So it's tough to swallow when only 6% of your capacity can come and watch. Meanwhile, you know what? Not to throw stones and stuff at big businesses or big chain stores, but when you see 50% of capacity in Home Depot, Rona, etc., it's just tough to swallow that people can't go out and watch a game of hockey and social distance properly, and what the guidelines are set out to be. They can't see it. So it's unfortunate. I think the government's, you know, if they want to do things and they say they want to stop this virus, etc., then don't go halfway. Do it full way. If that's what you mean, then shut things down for 2 weeks and let's get rid of it and start up again and let, you know, players have that mental and physical well-being, you know, just not at the junior level, but the minor hockey level and all sports.
And that's why I was so excited to have you on, because, you know, the SJHL is not saying you don't think the virus is serious. You're not saying any of that, right? You're just saying, why are you punishing us? Have I got that right?
Yeah, I just think we're a different entity. I think, you know, we're different than minor hockey. We're different than, you know, bigger skating programs. We're just a different animal. And, you know, we got players, and, you know, we could have 2 or 3 players in a bill at home too. Like, we're in a very controlled setting, and, you know, we went through a process of a week and a half, 2 weeks of getting these protocols in. You know, we went to our facility managers, you know, who we had to work with, and they had to go to the town officials, the city officials, people above them. So it wasn't a little process that we said, hey, we're going to play some hockey here. We went through some, you know, rigorous guidelines, and we followed them. And, you know, our cases in our league it's minimal. Like, we had the one case, and from my understanding, you'd have to talk to Melford on that. But they feel, from my understanding, it hasn't spread throughout the team. So, you know, I think we've done a very good job. And, you know, we're not the powers to be to say yes or no to continuing. But, you know, we can say that we followed what was asked of us, and we gave an opportunity for players to enjoy the game of hockey again, be healthy, give them an opportunity, especially for the 20-year-olds that need a place to play next year. When you look at that, this is a month away from showcasing their skills to NCAA schools, youth sports, the Western Hockey League. You can't tell me that doesn't take a toll on their mental state or their physical state, not being be active for a month and a half here.
Absolutely. Well, Jason, this has been fantastic. I appreciate it. Is that everything that you wanted to get off your chest, or is there anything I haven't asked?
I'll just joke around with Doug Johnson there. I guess we can take our players to the Tower Cafe or the Tap House, and they can have the best pizza in the country, and the guys out of age can have a beer before they leave. But, it was a joke, and it was just a point to say, hey, you know, we can't keep our guys on the ice and doing something that's healthy and important to them. But, I don't know. Casinos. I don't think there's anything super healthy or great for well-being in that way when you just lose money. You know what? If we were making money at casinos, they wouldn't be in business. So obviously someone's making some money.
Absolutely. Jason, next time, I promise it'll be under better conditions for our next interview. But I appreciate this today. Thanks for the time.
Always a pleasure. You have a great day, Rod.
You too, Jason. Jason Tatarnik, the head coach and general manager of the Estevan Bruins. And, pardon me, all the SJHL would say he spoke for them very adequately and well there.
Absolutely. You know, well thought out. Obviously, he had some time to think about it. It wasn't an emotional reaction, right? Which you can always take a little more seriously. And it is good points. I mean, they're trying to do what they can, and they want to be able to get onto the ice and play. And, you know, it doesn't make sense to them why casinos and bars and stuff could be open and they can't, when they have what they would consider a more controlled environment with the same number or less people, right? So I completely understand. I completely understand. But
I had a lady write me yesterday and said they want to keep us drunk and broke. That's what she said. I'm like, pretty hard. Listen, enough, because this is getting to be too much of a downer. We're going to break.
I know.
We got Johnny Avello coming in next from Vegas. I want to just do a little housekeeping and tell you the Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. If you have any comments, questions for us, fire them our way. That is 306-840-8777. It is Canada's daytime sports talk show. We'll continue after this break. Going to Vegas on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Our Thursday get-together continues just ahead of Johnny Avello in Vegas. A sports update today. The office of Argentina's president said it will decree 3 days of national mourning after the death of soccer legend Diego Maradona. He was among the best players in the sport's history, led his country to the 1986 World Cup. Hockey Canada has temporarily shut down the World Junior Team selection camp in Red Deer following the confirmation of 2 positive COVID tests. Hockey Canada announced last night that players, coaches, and staff have entered a 14-day quarantine, retroactive to Monday. The Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens were supposed to provide the top matchup on the NFL's Thanksgiving Day schedule, but that game has been pushed back to Sunday due to COVID-19 issues with Baltimore. So it's a doubleheader today, American Turkey Day. It is 11:30 Central, Detroit, home to the Houston Texans, followed by 3:30 Washington football team at the Dallas Cowboys. This sports update is for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Let's go down to Vegas now. Johnny Avello joins us from DraftKings. Many, many years, the guru of sports betting down there in the Valley. How you doing, Johnny?
Hey, Rod. I am doing well. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone across the world today.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Listen, I feel like I got to bring Darren Dupont in on this interview, and you should ask the questions because he is a fledgling, blossoming sports handicapper himself right here, Johnny, going off the advice that you gave him the last time that you were on. But can I just ask you the simplest, broadest question, and that is, how has this pandemic affected you? I mean, DraftKings is still in business, but not to the extent that you're used to, right?
Well, no, that's not true, Rod. There were some tough times, certainly for us, you know, from March till around May, June. But we found some content, to keep us going. We were doing table tennis and darts and, some obscure type of sports that we do a little of, but we were doing an abundance of it. And then, you know, golf came on board and UFC, and then the core sports came back. So, you know, the company's done really well for this year. It's actually been a banner year for us. Personally, it's just been different for me. You know, you got to stay on top of so many different things, and sometimes you don't get all the reports on, who has COVID, who doesn't have COVID. Working from home has been a little different for me. So it's been a strange year, for me personally and for the company, but things are going very, very well.
Johnny, for our Vegas going viewers, where was it? Was it the Wynn that you were at for many years? What have been your stops there in Vegas?
Yeah, I came to town in 1979. I was in the casino area for the first 6 years. I could deal all the games. I know the management of those games. And then in 1986, I moved over to Racing Sports. I worked at the Las Vegas Hilton, the Sands. Then I was at Bally's for 15 years and then Wynn for 13 years, running all these sports books throughout the town.
Wow, what a fantastic life it's been. And we've got a lot of betting questions for you. Obviously, sports betting's huge with our viewers, and we've just brought on a new betting partner. But let me ask you this. How has the addition of the Golden Knights and the Raiders changed Vegas as a sports town? I mean, I've been going there for years, but I'm a sports guy. For live events for sports, there always wasn't a lot. Now, it's a big, big change. What's it done to the city?
You know, I wasn't sure what the impact was going to be from the Golden Knights because we had some semi-pro hockey here in town before, and it did okay. But the town has really embraced the team, and maybe it's because they're winners. I don't know what would have happened if they, didn't play up to the level that they played so far. But it's a tough ticket to get. You can outside the arena's packed for every game, so it's just been totally embraced. It's hard to say with football because we haven't been able to attend the game yet, but the stadium's beautiful. What I can tell, the town is loving the Raiders as much as you can love a Raider team. we'll see when we can get some fans in the stands what it actually means for the town to have a football team here.
Well, that's my question. What is the buzz in town about that? Because God knows, I'm not sure God even knows when we're going to have crowds in venues for games. I mean, I got a lot of friends with the Golden Knights, and you would know some of those names of those guys, and they don't know how it's going to impact even the Golden Knights. What's the buzz in town about when they do open that place? Was it Allegiant Stadium, right? Well, how it's going to affect the Golden Knights?
Yeah, it's a wonderful looking stadium, and around the NFL, they have allowed some fans to come in Las Vegas here, none. I have to think that that place is going to be packed for not only Raiders games, but other college football events, other maybe championship events, Super Bowl, maybe down the road a couple of years, Pro Bowl, I'm sure at some point. So there's a lot going to happen there at this new venue. The buzz is positive. It's just that, we're going through some anguish right now in town, as well as others are around the country, around the world. So let's get past this. I feel optimistic that we're going to turn a corner here soon, and I'm hopeful that things are going to get back to semi-normal within the next 3 to 6 months.
Dupes, you're all over the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. fight, right? You were tweeting about it the other day. Do you have some questions for Johnny regarding it?
No, none, because there's nothing that you can do, right? There's no gambling on it. What the heck's going on?
False. We do have the lineup on it. There is gambling on it. Tyson is about a 220 favorite. Take back 175 on Roy Jones. We have some props on it. How many rounds it'll go? 6.5. We had to put it up, guys. We do candy eating contests. So we're going to do a candy eating contest. We're certainly going to do this exhibition fight.
Okay. So explain that. How does that, when they announced there'd be no betting, or, what did they mean? Can you kind of explain what,
Well, you know, they announced this fight quite a few months ago, and they said there was going to be an exhibition fight with no refs, no judges, and it was just, you know, going to be – these guys are going to go out and show some of their prior skills. And so at that point, we couldn't do much with it. But then they announced more recently, you know, within the last month, that there was going to be a ref for this fight, and, it was going to be judged. And even though it's not sanctioned, so to speak, we are booking it. We've got permission to book it in three states. Those three states are New Hampshire, New Jersey, and Illinois. It's an eight-round fight, two rounds, 2 minutes per round. They're going to wear 12-ounce gloves. We know about the fighters. You know, Tyson's 50-6, Jones is 66-9 lifetime, but Tyson now is 54 years old. I think Jones is 51. Jones fought a few years back. You know, he fought back in 2018. Tyson hasn't fought since, I think, 2005. It was a tough line to make, but it was a consensus we came up with. So far, it's got minimal action on it. We just got it up over the last day or so. But I think it'll do right. I think it'll do well. I think it'll draw some money. And I'm always excited to see two of the best pound-for-pound fighters fight again, so I hope everyone else is.
What have you got set, Johnny, for who's going to win and how long it's going to go?
Well, we got Tyson at a little over 1-2 favorite, which means put up 2 to win 1. The rounds that we put up were 6.5 rounds, so it's scheduled to go 8. We put up 6.5. Yeah, you know, they said no one in this fight. They don't want anybody to get hurt, but there's always, you know, the way Tyson can throw the leather around in the past, he can hurt you because, you know, he's a strong puncher. He's a hard puncher. He looks good. I've seen recent pictures of him. He looks pretty good. But so does Jones, too. Jones has always been one of those fighters, you know, with the unorthodox style, kind of hit and run defensive fighter. So be interesting to see, you know, what the approach is from both men. But 6.5 rounds is what we put up as the over-under.
Hey, one more from our friend Jack. He's a football guy in Alberta watching, and he wants to know how you cannot love Chucky and the Raiders. Is that a longstanding thing with you, Johnny? You're from the Eastern Seaboard. You got a team out there. Like, you're going to have to get on board, right? You know that.
Yeah, you know, Chucky's he's won a Super Bowl that year. He was traded from the Raiders to Tampa Bay. They paid him a lot of money to come in. He's made some moves. We've got rid of some guys that they thought were mistakes, but it feels like it's coming together now. You know, Derek Carr's been a little more consistent this year than he has been in the past. That's going to be the key to that team. They have a great running back, and, you know, we'll see if the team continues to improve. So, yeah, there's excitement here in town, and they did beat the number one football team, Chiefs, once, almost beat them twice. But it's everything looks positive for them right now, and hopefully those ways will continue.
You didn't answer my question, though. Who's your team?
My personal team is the Giants. I mean, I'm from New York, grew up in New York, lived my first 25 years of my life there. Giants were pounded in my head as well as the Mets were. So those are my two New York teams, Giants and Mets.
All right, I got you. Johnny, always fun talking sports with you. Enjoy the fight come Saturday night, and stay safe down there.
Thank you very much. Have a fine weekend.
You too, sir. The great Johnny Avello from DraftKings checking in from Sin City. We'll do viewer takeover next. And what's on your phone, by the way?
I'm doing some looking into that fight because it was just yesterday that the rules came out from the Athletic Commission, the California State Athletic Commission. But it's the Thriller, the promotional company that's actually coming out, who's promoting the weekend's events. They issued a statement saying a winner will indeed be announced for the bout and scoring will be done by judges from the WBC. So the California State Athletics Commission saying, you know, it's an exhibition, there's no judges, we won't do it. But so that's where Johnny, I think, got that from. The promoter is actually still going to declare a winner. So just because the Athletic Commission won't, the promoter is still going to declare a winner. So maybe I'm back on.
Scott Nichols writing in from Saskatoon. He says, sorry I'm late. You know Scott, great radio guy.
Yeah.
No, you're just in time. Because when we come back, we're going to talk about all these things, NFL Canada and what they've got cooking, the Saskatchewan shutting down sports, what it means to the SJ, and, well, more NFL talk. So hang on. Plus, I got questions from the viewers right here. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the viewer takeover segment. And I want to tell you, coming up in hour two, Gino Ogic and Marcia McNaughton talking about Gino's campaign to get on the Canucks Ring of Honor. A couple, well, we call it the viewer takeover for a reason. Adam Schultz writes in and says, Bet365 has no lines or bet options for the Tyson Jones fight. So hang on that. From my friend Whiter. Thanks for the game last night at Ballers. Too bad you guys fell one run short. Great show again, fellas. Not too bad at all. The sun set on my career last night of slow pitch. Did I tell you? I'm done.
Yeah.
News conference tomorrow. We missed the playoffs. We didn't make the playoffs, Clark. That was what we were playing for last night.
We're done.
Didn't anybody tell Clark?
We're done.
The season's over. Anyways, on the betting, you had a comment on that?
Well, just, no, it's, I mean, obviously DraftKings is going to bet, but it's only three different states. So Bet365, yeah, they won't have betting lines because it's not available to everybody to bet on it. So they're only licensed to bet in those three states. So if you're in those three states with DraftKings, you can bet on the game. But that's it. So what did he say? New Hampshire, Illinois, and I forget the third one. But you can go back and watch it. That's it. So it'll be interesting. If they're actually, if the promoter is going to declare a winner, then away we go, right? Then I'm kind of into it again a little bit. I mean, I can't see Mike Tyson really... or Roy Jones being into a fight if there's no winner. They want to win the fight. It's what they do. So that'll be good.
I don't understand any of this. Don't you go into the ring to beat the guy up? Who cares about the rest of this stuff? Isn't that the idea?
Right. But you're not going to go and, you know, beat each other up for eight rounds and then be like, so who won? Nobody won. What do you mean nobody won? Right? I beat him. And then you want to declare a winner. It's like playing with no scoreboard.
I see what you're saying.
Right?
This is weird.
It's like kids hockey. No. We scored five goals. I saw it. Right? It's like playing with no scoreboard.
This is very confusing. Why do it?
Why do it if there's no score? Yeah, exactly.
DG in Saskatoon writes in, says, morning, guys. Good luck to whatever players are left for the Team Canada camp. And brought the virus back in. Pack your bags. You clearly aren't a good teammate. Am I on another planet today? I don't understand what people are... There's nothing saying that these two players left the Red Deer bubble, if you will, and came back. They went to a 7-Eleven and got COVID and came back and gave it to all their teammates. Who says that it came from a player into the hotel? Could it come from anybody? Don't blame the players.
Could it come from the hotel letting somebody else in, touching an elevator button?
Yeah.
It's just, there's so many different things, right?
We're hurtling towards a horrible time. 9 to 10 months of just sitting on pins and needles with nobody knowing what the hell's going on. And now into a time where everybody's attacking each other. Everybody's pointing fingers at each other. Oh, yeah, we're all in it together, right? Trust the science, which the science is different for the NCAA basketball and football than it is for the Canadian science. Brady says, hey, Rod, I got the Lions and Cowboys winning. Too bad the Steelers versus Texans game got bumped back to Sunday. That was going to be a good game. Well, you can still watch it, depending on more positive COVID tests for the Ravens. This is just absolutely out of control. The one thing I applaud these leagues that have not thrown up their hands and quit and said, why bother? Some leagues have said that. There are others that won't. And coming up in hour two, we are going to kick this around a little more. I'm not done with these comments from Jason Tatarnik from the Estevan Bruins, who says, I don't have the answers for my players. Maybe my players can talk to Scott Moe and he can give them the answers. Whoa. Gino Ogic, next hour. We'll see you on Game Plus, or for the rest of you, if you don't have it, keep it here on Facebook Live. Let's make some noise!
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.